due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
And welcome to another installment of the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and the table's a little empty to start, but I do have my co-host sitting right here, Stat Boy Josh Henniger. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Nikki. This week has been quite heavy on the wrestling action, so I think it's time to start diving in, and our first stop is Wrestle Kingdom. Wrestle Kingdom 20 was last Sunday, Hiroshi Tanahashi's final match. He is now full on retired. And
I see that... Go ahead.
Go ahead, Nikki. I was about to start going into results. You might have some.
Well, better. With Tanahashi's final match, I see that he faced Okada, and that's been a perennial feud in and out of, you know, Japan.
Mm-hmm. True.
So that's a hell of a way to go.
Yes, it is. And ultimately, we had 9 matches on the card. The big matches that happened. The Mighty Don't Kneel. The never open weight 6-man tag belts. Sayuri now holds the IWGP and Strong Women's Championships. Let's see now. El Desperado is now number one contender, that match would have happened at New Year's Dash, I believe. Let me see here. Guess not yet. Okay, never mind. But let's get back to there. Aaron Wolf, who just debuted in New Japan as a full-on member, beat Evil for the Never Open Weight Championship. This also makes Aaron Wolf part of a very small, very elite squadron of Olympic gold medalists to be in pro wrestling proper. I can only think of 3 right off the top, or 4 right off the top of my head. There probably are a few more that wrestled explicitly in New Japan or in other international places, but the only 4 I can think of, Kurt Angle, who won in 96 with a broken frickin' neck, Gable Steveson, Tyra Mae Steele, who's currently down in either NXT or Evolve, but she is she was a gold medalist also in Tokyo for wrestling at 68 kilo.
Mm-hmm.
And now Aaron Wolf, who won in Tokyo for judo over 100 kilo.
Nice.
Or, no, 100 kilo. And then got a silver in both Tokyo and Paris in the mixed teams.
Okay.
So, yes. And then Yota Tsuji not only won the World Heavyweight title from Konosuke Takeshita, but also Yota did something on New Year's Dash the next night. He brought back the older style, the V4 belt instead of the V5 like it has been. The one that we would know as pretty much the belt that every big wrestler the last 15 to 20 years has worn. In short, it doesn't look like a flying V anymore. It looks like an actual title.
Right.
And then in the main event, if this wasn't a little obvious, I don't know what you're doing, Okada beat Tanahashi to send Hiroshi off into retirement. After the match, pretty much a borderline who's who showed up to pay their respects to Tanahashi afterward. Because who would show up? Let's see. Sorry, I need to pull this up real quick. Live research, everybody.
Correct.
After the matches, or let's see here. Nope. After the match, we had at least two guys from current New Japan or current AEW. Kota Ibushi, who should have been using his crutches instead of trying to walk out, despite him, you know, tearing his or smashing his fibula into pieces, or at least two pieces.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was.
Right.
And Kenny Omega came out together. Make of that what you will.
Golden lovers.
Yep, secret lovers. We also had both El Desperado and Tetsuya Naito come out, who are no longer with New Japan. They're currently in NOAH, if I'm not mistaken. It's a wild statement for me to say, because I thought both of those guys would have stuck around in New Japan until their retirement. Guess not.
No, and I'm guessing, you know, things are a little looser between leagues, so it's not a big deal for them to show up at a New Japan show.
Yeah. Because both him and El Desperado showed up there. Or not El Desperado. Oh, God. Bushi showed up. Right. Bushi has... Both of them have now made a new version of Los Incornables de Japón. Now known as Los Tranquilos de Japón.
Mm.
Yeah. Also showing up were two members of wrestling's royalty in Tatsumi Fujinami and, of course, Muta. Keiji
yes.
Muto showed up. Will Ospreay showed up.
Mm.
Yeah, he's still recovering from his neck issues. And also Shibata showed up. And one more chop battle for the road. Yeah. Ultimately, though, Omega and Ibushi got Tanahashi to his Ace Mobile, which was just essentially something not terribly far out of, like, say, WrestleMania 3 or 6. You know, the driving carts. And then...
Right.
Tanahashi waved to the audiences one more time as an active wrestler, walked through the fog, and that's it. He's done as a wrestler. He's not done with New Japan.
Oh, no.
Oh, hell no. He is still the director there at New Japan, so he is still going to be very, very busy. But yeah, he is no longer wrestling. Ends his career at 2,999 99 matches.
Doofus.
Yeah. Which means the next match he does, no matter what, if he does do another match, I mean, go. The thing is, wrestlers never retire. You can always expect that. It'll be match 3000. The question is, will it be something like a Rambo? Where he shows up, says hi, does a few of his moves, and gets thrown out? Or will he actually stick to retirement? Who knows? Who knows? So, your thoughts on... I would say, what are your thoughts on Tanahashi? Because I know that you don't really watch pro wrestling nearly as much as I did back in college years. Or my college years. But what are your thoughts? I know you got to probably see him a few times on TV at least.
I did, and I think he was working AEW a couple times that I got to go to their shows.
Yes, yes, that actually is right. He was there a handful of times in the last 3 years.
So I actually got to see him in action, and I did. I enjoy his work. I did enjoy his work. I should go back and find more. Hmm. But, you know, Japanese wrestlers, like American wrestlers, well, all wrestlers, continue to be doofuses.
Yes, and.
Yes, and. Zero exceptions. There's, yeah. And I've enjoyed his doofus, what little I have seen of it. I'd love to go back and watch more.
Mm-hmm.
When I have time.
Yes. Hopefully you will have that time soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can... Everybody can hear you, Nikki. You are yawnier than Yanni.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I protest that. Yanni's music is cool. Anyway.
Yes, I know it is. It's just... I had to make a pun.
But no, it's all good.
Yes. And now we move from Sunday to Monday. And the one-year anniversary of WWE Raw on Netflix. Not only was it the last Raw or last WWE event not in NXT land, that is in the US for a month.
Mm-hmm.
It was also brought to you by Stranger Things. And they had a few special surprises in there. They had the chapters just to break it up. They had specialty promos and packages, essentially integrating both the recently completed Stranger Things and Raw.
And they did it in such a way that if you were... not somebody who watched Stranger Things, and I realize that's a very small list of people. I'm in that list.
Hi, so am I.
Okay.
I don't have streaming services, so no.
It didn't really intervene with the wrestling. It didn't intervene with the show. It was just a cool aesthetic to go with the show.
Yeah.
This show didn't blow the doors off, but it was still, still very well put together.
Mm-hmm.
We had,
four matches on that card. Rhea Ripley and Io Sky beating the Kabuki Warriors to get back the tag titles.
Which I'm absolutely digging.
Yes. Becky Lynch beats Maxxine Dupri to win the Intercontinental title back. And Becky, yeah. Becky's being Becky again, and unfortunately this match was a little eh. Because it didn't seem that the women gelled as much as they did previously.
Right. But, win or lose, Becky is going to continue to be insufferable. And Maxxine is going to get even more people behind her.
Yes. Who knows? There might be something at the Rumble in Riyadh, but we're a little ahead of ourselves because there hasn't been much announced for that yet.
No, there actually has anybody declared yet?
I don't think so. Let me see here real quick. Jumping a little ahead, even though it's only 3 weeks. We don't have any full we don't have any declarations for the Rumbles. The only thing we have so far is Drew McIntyre faces off against somebody.
Yeah.
But we'll get there with SmackDown once we get to that point. From there, we've got then Liv Morgan facing off against or winning over Lyra Valkyria. And Liv came back for her first match in months.
And I didn't realize that. I thought she'd actually wrestled somewhere in the last, like, 3-4 weeks, but
nope.
I am wrong.
She's been largely just kind of, well, not exactly resting. It's just she's been taking a passive role. This was her first active role since she wrestled last before she got injured slightly. Yeah, the dislocated shoulder, if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the main event, CM Punk beats Braun Breaker to retain the World Heavyweight title.
In a war.
Yeah.
This was a fantastic match.
Mm-hmm.
And a great test title match for Breaker.
Yes. I would say sooner rather than later, he's going to get the belt. The question is when, not if.
No, it's definitely when. I think it's going to happen this year. Not right away.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say SummerSlam.
Yeah.
But the two of them pulled out all the stops. Uncle Paul tried to muddy the waters a bit with the rest of the Vision, and Punk had luchadors in his in his corner.
Mm-hmm.
To help, you know, help clear out the clean up the mess.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, excuse me. It wasn't a matter of Punk winning the match. He survived.
Yes. The question is, who's next from that cadre? Who's next? Will it be Bronson? Will it be the guy who's never welcomed in Japan ever again for as long as he draws breath? Or will it be somebody else?
Well, let's see. I haven't heard any updates about Seth, but I did see him on an NFL pre-show recently, and he did not have his brace on.
Yes. From what I understood, he is brace-free. He's just not been 100% cleared yet. It's been, what, about 4 months now since he got injured?
Right, and they were saying 6 to 9 months because they didn't expect him to be back in time for Mania. But Seth has that same ridiculous, over-obsessive work ethic that Triple H had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And remember how hard he got himself back from his knee injury mm-hmm. when he was champion. This was back in 2015?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To the point that there is a fan video of Seth's recovery from that surgery done to YouTube's Beautiful Day. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the thing is, he is still on TV pretty much at least every single week, if not every single weekday, with Good Morning Football.
Mm-hmm.
So chances are, once we get to the off season, which that'll be coming, Seth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Might be finally ready to get away and wrestle again. The question is, will his Bears make it there? Right now, it's not looking pretty.
No, but they're ahead of my boys.
Yeah. Right now, it is 21-3 at halftime for the Packers.
Oh, that's right. They're playing tonight.
Yes.
But yeah, Punk, if they might want to do an interim thing with Reed. I'm sure that the office would love to throw he who shouldn't be mentioned on this show at Punk.
No, just no.
No, I get it. But the story writes itself. Here's an internet upstart who uses his fame to get a job against a guy who has bled, sweat, and cried for this business going on 20 years now. Do you think for one minute that Punk is going to just stand there and let, I'm gonna have to say his name, I'm sorry, man. I'd rather say Joe Hendry, but Logan Paul, they keep threatening to give him a title shot. And I'd like to see it against Punk solely because of the story that goes with it.
Essentially,
I
a
don't.
guy who started on third and thought he batted a trip, and then, or yeah, was born on third, thought he hit the home run when he was going home. Versus a
And a guy.
guy who is
Yeah.
essentially scratched and clawed his way up from the bottom.
Yeah, Punk is wrestling.
Yes.
And Logan Paul is not. I know he's very good in the ring. He's improved by leaps and bounds, per match. It's turned from spot fests into actual wrestling. That still doesn't mean he deserves a title. I'm still glad I got to see Seth kick his ass in California a couple of years ago. But
Agreed.
yeah, they're gonna have. Unfortunately, the office is going to want it because they know about the social media outreach.
And Logan is essentially the biggest name they have on because of social media. Not the biggest name, period, but just because he's got such a massive presence online, for better or for worse.
So that's my thought. Because Bronson, I know Bronson Reed, they want to push further. I'm wondering if they've cooled off a little bit on him because of his injury last year. But I would still like him to have a test title shot and see see how that looks. But I think they'll do Paul before they do Bronson Reed.
'Cause Bronson, he doesn't really have the promo abilities. Not yet. The problem is, though, his age may wind up working against him just a little bit, because if I'm not mistaken, Bronson is surprisingly a little older than you expect. He's 37, will turn 38 in August.
Oh wow. No, I thought he was straight up 30.
The thing is, I have more or less blinders on for new, or I didn't, it isn't really, I'm gonna have to think about this, what I'm trying to say here. Largely I have blinders on for Australian independence and West Coast independence, and that's where Bronson got his real start. Because he didn't show up into WWE until he was already 12 years deep into his career.
Correct.
And that was now 6.5 years ago. Yeah, he started before COVID.
Yeah. But he will. I think he'll get that. He'll get that opportunity. I'm just not sure when.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Excuse me.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
But just to know for everybody out there, the next 2 weeks of Raws and the next week of SmackDown are all going to be early. Except for SmackDown, which will be just recorded. It'll be live to tape for us here in the States.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Next 2 weeks, January 12th, Raw will be starting at 2 p.m. Eastern. That will be, I believe that's the one in Dusseldorf?
Yes.
And then in Belfast, they'll be starting at 3 p.m. on the 19th.
Okay.
And, yeah, just a note, the January 12th Raw will have AJ Styles versus Gunther. Which, that's going to be something.
That's going to be a very solid technical affair.
Yes.
Some people are speculating that that's going to be the match that retires AJ. No.
No. They will not.
AJ's going to be retired. He's going to be retired in the States, in Atlanta, if possible.
Yes. And best case scenario, Gainesville, Georgia. Because that's where AJ is from, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Or somewhere nearby.
No, he's from Gainesville, Georgia. I just think that I don't know if there's an arena in that town that WWE can actually work out of, but they always go to Atlanta.
Yeah, they don't have a place big enough. They will have to go to Atlanta. Or do they? Hold on. Buford Arena. No, that's the school system. Never mind.
And right.
Gas South in Duluth. Never mind. So yeah, Atlanta is likely to be his retirement spot. It's just a matter of when this year, not if.
Right. But yeah, AJ's not going to retire right at the beginning of 2026.
No, because he would want to wrestle at Mania for sure.
Yeah. Hell, retirement Mania. That would be beautiful.
True, but that's in Vegas. I don't know if he would want to do that.
I know. If you can't retire him in Atlanta, retire him in Japan.
Yeah, that would be awesome, but yeah. I don't know if he would do that either, because I think he would want to retire in front of his kids and the rest of his family. I know that Japan holds a lot to AJ's heart, especially because of Bullet Club. And also, if you didn't know, Bullet Club is now officially kaput. The end. No more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alright, so let's go over quickly to NXT. New Year's Evil happened this week. And the big storylines happened. Or that happened were that Izzy Dane beat Thea Hale to win the NXT North American title. After she lost to Tana Paxley earlier in the card, Thea essentially got jumped from behind because, well, yeah. Izzy Dane and friends are essentially cheap, cheap bastards. And then, in his final match in NXT, Oba Femi beats Leon Slater to retain the NXT title, and then he vacates it. It's over. Oba wound up winning out. And now he's up to the main roster before, I would say, this week might, coming week might be. And if not, he'll be picked up, go, and then head his, wait a minute. No, hold on. I can do research.
Yes, live research is always welcome.
Saturday night's main event, because there are going to be matches at Saturday night's main event. Okay, no, Oba Femi is not part of it, but I would say Oba is probably coming in very, very soon. If not this coming week, it'll be next week.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the week after, yeah. The 16th or 23rd is what I expect.
Right.
So, ultimately, yeah, Oba has given it up. And now, who knows what'll happen to the belt, or who will get the next crack at it to determine who's the new NXT champion. That'll come soon.
Right. Right, Ava will be working on that for sure.
Yes. And then, this week on AEW... Well, the biggest thing on AEW this week would be the Lights Out match between Hangman Adam Page, Swerve Strickland versus Powerhouse Hobbs and Hook from the Ops. And those two, Powerhouse Hobbs and Hook, got their ass handed to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And of course, they have continued in setting up for a special at the end of this month on the 26th for AEW Maximum, or no, on the 17th. Or no, it's the 14th. Ugh.
Calendars are hard.
Yeah, calendars are sometimes a little hard when the link provided is a little weird. Oh, that's right. It's because it's a two-night affair for Maximum Carnage. On Dynamite, it'll be three matches listed so far, or two matches, or yeah, two to three matches, something like that. MJF faces off against Bandido for the World Championship. Expect MJF to retain, because lol, MJF.
Right.
Darby Allin will face off against Pac. And then in a trios match, Chris Statlander and the Babes of Wrath, Willow Nightingale and Harley Cameron, will face off against the Triangle of Madness, Tekla, Julia Hart, Sky Blue. Expect Tekla to beat Statlander, setting up a match for AEW Revolution.
Okay.
Yep.
And... Okay. No sign of our boy taking his vacation since he's what, Continental Champion?
Uh-huh. Continental Champion, and this week he was doing commentary on Collision, which should be happening right about, well, they should be wrapping up right about now.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, so yeah, AEW, we're kind of in a holding pattern waiting for Revolution, which, once again, we are going to do as a pick'em in lieu of Rumble. Because I don't cover Saudi shows like that.
Right.
Let's see now. We can talk quickly about TNA because there's two things coming up. This week on the 15th is TNA's debut on AMC. I don't know what has anything to do with American movie classics, but hey.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, MTV no longer showing music videos. Or TLC showing reality shows.
Yeah, essentially, it's channel slippage.
Yep.
But there is going to be a very special hello from somebody who's coming back home for at least one more chance. Or not one more match, but there might be something set up down the road. AJ Styles is going to be on the debut.
As he should.
Mm-hmm.
Even if WWE and TNA were not working together, I would say, you know, say, sorry guys, you know, this is where I made my bones. I gotta go.
Yep. And then there is one other debut, or not debut, but one other appearance from some schmuck who has been irrelevant to today's youth for over a decade. Perez Hilton.
What the hell she got to do with this?
Not she. He. You're thinking of Paris.
Sorry.
And what's he got to do with this? Nothing! Absolutely nothing! He is essentially a why. Just why.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. But we also do have a full-on card, or a near full card, for Genesis, which will be next Saturday. But we don't have, or yeah, we do have the World Championship match signed, or figured out. It's going to be Kazarian versus Mike Santana. Nick Nemeth is, though, guaranteeing to cash himself in, and who knows from there. But there will also be a retirement match there. Eddie Edwards will be facing off against the retiring Fandon Johnny Curtis. Or JDC as we know him as nowadays.
Yes. Given that I know he's got to have had a 20-plus year career, because the earliest I remember...
26-plus.
Yeah, because I remember seeing him at a house show in 2008.
Yeah, and the thing is, he was almost a decade deep into his career.
Right.
Because he debuted at the age of 16. In 1999.
Wow.
Yeah, trained by Killer Kowalski.
Ooh, even bigger.
Yeah, there's not many of those guys left.
Nope.
Because, to be honest, the only ones that still wrestle are Eddie Edwards, who we just mentioned, mm-hmm. Kazarian,
mm-hmm.
Kofi, Damian Sandow, okay. Or Aaron the Idol Stevens, whatever he's known as nowadays.
Right.
In NWA land. And then, let's see, and Tommaso Ciampa. Oh, and by the way, if you haven't heard, Tommaso Ciampa is looking to leave the WWE. His contract is up soon, and he's pulling towards not renewing.
Is he just not satisfied in the fact that they haven't really done a whole lot of single stuff with him?
Yeah.
Or
wouldn't surprise me much, because they're doing a lot more with Johnny, especially as of late.
Especially his little surprise here on SmackDown. We'll get to that.
Yes, we will.
I have, Ciampa's one of those people that, Hunter knows how to use him, but it's how do you get him integrated in the chaos that they've already got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I dig DIY, and I've been watching Gargano since the late 2000s when he was, when he'd show up at Lucha Corps.
Mm-hmm. Dang, American Lucha Corps.
Yeah. Him and Chuck Taylor and a bunch of other guys. I think they did it. I think Gargano was in the slow motion match that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the suplex fest where they got the referee who bore more than a passing resemblance than Shaggy to Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Ruh-roh. Oh, wait,
I got the pictures.
Isn't that John... Wait a minute, isn't that the late John Barber you're talking about?
He would Could have, be. I.
He was based out of Philadelphia, was a big presence in Chikara whenever Bryce wasn't refereeing. It was him.
Okay, because, Noah Callahan, he could have got... He would just say, hey, I'm doing a show and 200 wrestlers would show up. Or he'd book 200 wrestlers knowing that 75 of them would show up.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
Love you, Sammy. Miss you, man. I don't think Revolver hasn't been in the area for quite a while. At least I haven't heard anything.
Pro Wrestling Revolver. Let's see if there's any events. February 5th. Nope, there hasn't been in a year.
Okay. So.
Oh, never mind. Scratch that. There is an event coming in February. It's just incorrectly labeled under Events tab. The next event... Yep, that is correct. February 5th. The day before my birthday.
You're going to be in Dayton?
Yeah, they're in Dayton.
Let's talk after the show.
Yeah, their main attraction, Killer Cross. But yes, we should talk about this after.
Yes.
So, we now go to the most recently aired episode. WWE SmackDown. Oh boy. I can tell you this, we got things set up for Saturday night's main event.
We did.
Because we now have four matches listed for next week's SmackDown that will ultimately determine who will face off against each other in a fatal four-way at Saturday night's main event.
In Toronto, I believe.
No, Quebec. Montreal.
Oh, my bad.
Toronto will but be the next it... night.
Yeah.
Or on Monday night.
Yeah. Winnipeg. Oh, no. No, no, no. Go back to Toronto.
Hey,
I'm from
we'll
Winnipeg,
there.
You idiot.
We'll get there. Because we have eight people going into four qualifiers. Let me go ahead and give those off. Randy Orton will be facing off against The Miz. The returned Matt Cardona will be facing off against Trick Williams. Damian Priest faces off against Solo Sikoa. And Sami Zayn faces off against Ilya Dragunov. The winners of each of those will go on to face off against each other in a fatal four-way at Saturday night's main event in Montreal, winner of which faces off against the winner of the Undisputed WWE Championship at the main event, or during SmackDown's main event.
Correct. Any speculation? I've got a couple of ideas.
I have a very... Oh, for that match? Sorry.
Well, for the Fatal 4-Way, not for the Three Stages of Hell match.
I got a little ahead of myself. I would expect Damian Priest. I would expect Sammy, Matt, and... The Miz? No, it'd be Orton. It'd be Orton, Cardona. No, we have to have heels and faces, so Solo and Ilya? Although I don't consider Ilya much of a heel right now.
Solo and Trick Williams.
Okay, so Solo and Trick are going to win. And then Randy and Ilya will probably win. Sammy's winning that, because Sammy has to win at Saturday night's main event. For obvious reasons.
Funny, I had it pegged for the Rumble, but okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Mm. He has to win a Saturday night's main event in order for him to get to the Rumble. And not in the Rumble itself, but... Although, hey, he could lose early and wind up in the Rumble match still.
Yeah. Like I said, given where the Rumble's going to be, Sammy would be a really good choice to win it all.
Yes. And ultimately, who will those four face off against? Or have the potential to face off against? The undisputed WWE champion, Drew McIntyre.
Which, I finally got to see the match in its entirety, and that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I only got to see bits and bobs of it because, yeah.
Well, the straight-up wrestling match was as straight-up as it gets. When they got it a false count anywhere, the toys came out right away.
Yes.
And then they took a tour of the building.
Mm-hmm. Not a surprise.
And... I believe the second fall was when Cody gave Drew a crossroads through the announce table.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
That way they were clear of the cage when it comes down. Hi, Seth Rollins. How you doing?
Mm-hmm. And ultimately... Continue.
Yeah. The cage match was intense. I didn't see where Cody got busted open.
Nor did I, because it was hard way. That wasn't a traditional play job.
No, and I had noticed, I had tuned in while I was out and about, and saw that Ayers, who was refereeing inside the cage, he had his gloves on, and then I saw a spot of blood in the back of Cody's head. So, It's a very, very strong back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Till Drew gets to the door, and we have a hooded man standing there, looking him square in the eye.
Yep.
On my first viewing of this, the monitor I was watching turned off because somebody put fucking parental controls on it. And it shut off at exactly 11:00.
Yep.
So I got the answer. It was a returning Jacob Fatu, who, in full all gas no brakes mode, beat the holy fuck out of Drew and then jumped Cody.
Yeah.
While Drew escaped, and it gave me a vibe. Oh. This looks familiar.
Oh.
Somebody showing up out of nowhere and taking out the two biggest stars on your roster.
Mm-hmm.
Something that kind of happened to an Alpha and an Omega in Vegas a few years ago.
Ah, okay.
Some guy named John jumped the barricade. Nobody stopped him, and he went in there and just beat the fuck out of everybody.
Yep.
That's the vibe I got. So it leaves us the question, now that Drew is champion, Jacob obviously is going to be in Cody's business, But is it because Cody was the one that jumped Fatu?
We'll find out. Or was he just wanting to take his frustrations out on anybody and everybody?
That sounds like the better answer, judging from his slightly confused and pained look on his face when he saw Drew crawling off with the belt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I came here to kick ass, but that's not what I wanted to happen.
Yeah.
And so it leaves the door. It does leave the door open. I think he might even get to take a couple swipes at Drew, but Cody's not going to have any of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if it's Jacob and Cody, who's the heel?
Probably Jacob, just because he does play the heel a little better. But honestly, it could be just a I'm pissed, I want your head versus, oh, so you screwed me on my eye belt? I'm gonna screw you.
Yeah. It could be either, you know, either or. I do look forward to seeing how this plays out.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you're doing the show correctly.
Yes.
And speaking of shows, somewhere in the next couple of weeks, the second season of Unreal is going to start airing on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there's a little bit of backlash behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Several wrestlers are like, why are we doing this? Do we really want to show them how it's done?
I mean, pretty much we're in a post-kayfabe world, so why not?
I know, but it's up there with politics and sausage. Do you really want to see how it's done?
I mean, we've seen how it's done for the last few decades.
True. But as far as I'm aware, Uncle Paul and one or two other people have gone on record saying that they don't like seeing the curtain this wide open.
Yeah, I understand. But unfortunately, we are not in the 1980s anymore. For their sake.
Yeah, and I'm sure they acknowledge this, but it's the fact that, yes, we can let everybody have a peek behind the curtain. When I spoke to Jason the other night, he did make a good point. When a video was released about exposing the secrets of magic,
mm-hmm.
that just meant the magicians had to go out there and get better.
Yep.
Yeah.
We see that still on a seasonal basis with Penn and Teller.
Right. So, could this possibly get wrestling to get better? I mean, I hope that Unreal is going to cover Seth's injury, quote-unquote, from mm-hmm. last year.
Yeah.
And how hard they played that, because I, you know, sure as hell fooled me.
Mm-hmm. Although, if you remember, it didn't fool me as much.
Mm-hmm.
Because I half suspected it was pretty much just a ruse so that he could get around and win it. So,
And it still played brilliantly, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of want to see the behind-the-scenes take on it. And the fact that they have to sit there and be as immersive with this quote-unquote injury.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to get out.
Yeah.
It's going to get out. People are going to suspect something. And I believe we did speculate a little bit on it, just the fact that Seth went down hurt and they left the camera on him.
Mm-hmm.
When a wrestler gets hurt, they try to cut away and say, look over here. Look at the shiny stuff over here.
Yep.
They didn't do that with Seth. So. Yeah.
So that told me pretty much, it was like, yep, that's not it. You are going to be fine.
And then the karma hammer hit him anyway. But I didn't watch the first season of Unreal right when it aired. I waited a little bit and then went back and binge watched it. And I found it interesting. I found it entertaining. There was a surprise or two in there, but one of the reasons that I don't think they wanted to do this is, again, I go back to politics and sausage. It's not something you really want to watch being made. So, I'll definitely give it a look. Let's see, what else, do we have any, I know we've got a bunch of other little things that might be floating around.
It's just a bunch of little things right now.
It's my understanding that since, Ciampa's not renewing, apparently LA Knight has got a foot out the door.
Wouldn't surprise me considering, LA has been largely just kind of put off to the side, and like, that guy should have been a main eventer, and you're not treating him like such. Oi.
No, and I get why you might be a little tentative because of his age, but come on, man. He has entire arenas behind him, and you can't capitalize on that. I shouldn't be surprised, but we're in the Triple H era. So, what's the other thing that I wanted to touch on? Well, actually, Jason had turned my attention to an interview with Finn Balor.
Oh yeah, the what do you want to talk about interview, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I think he was on Cody's show, and they started asking him questions about the demon.
Mm-hmm.
And he pretty much confirmed what a lot of people were kind of accusing him of, the fact that the Demon King was invincible and that sometimes Finn couldn't win unless he did that, and that's not what he wanted the demon to be. And he preferred that it be a surprise instead of being advertised, which unfortunately the only time they did that was when he went out and stomped the fuck out of Corbin. And sorry, Lone Wolf, but you are well below the attentions of the Demon King. Finn should have just trampled you, without the paint. A lot of his other opportunities as the Demon were necessary. I mean, WrestleMania 39, Edge was begging for him.
We could quickly talk about Ted DiBiase Jr. You might know what's
Did
going
he?
on there.
I know it was a huge money laundering deal, I
Yep,
believe.
he just started in the federal trial this week. Or yeah.
I thought they'd already locked him up.
Nope, not officially, but if everything goes according to plan, he's gonna get locked up soon.
And
At least
for a while.
until Big Daddy Trump shows up and throws him out back into or throws him out of the jail cell. Wouldn't surprise me.
I don't know.
But
I
yeah.
haven't been following. I haven't been following very closely. But he shouldn't have got himself in that kind of a mess. Otherwise, he'd be in you know, upper mid card feuds with Randy and Cody.
Yep. Instead, he screwed himself over big time.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know of anything else that I can remember right off the top. Carl, if you have anything in that you need to, that we forgot, please put it in here.
There's room. We'll wait. But since nobody else decided to show up.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone else. So, I've got things to promote. It's time to sell the soap, after all. And
yes,
this week on Knickknacks, I finally get to talk about it again. The concept and history of how did the Nicktoons come to be? Essentially, a history of from essentially the 1920s to the 1980s, the first technical Nicktoon that almost was Christmas in Tattertown. And then the Nicktoons from 1991. The first five, all pilots, only a handful are pieces and bits and bobs of which showed up in out in the public. And then a little bit of, hey, this is who brought the first three Nicktoons in. And then the next episode is Doug. One of the first three Nicktoons starring an 11-year-old with an overactive imagination created by a guy who was there at the very beginning of Nick. So you'll find out all about more of that on youtube.com/poparena. And then this week on It Was a Thing on TV, the first full episode of 2026, The Magician. A 1973-1974 magician-based show starring Bill Bixby doing actual magic. Yeah. It did okayishly on ratings, but it didn't do enough to warrant a second season. Same deal goes with next week's episode, which will be Chico's birthday pick, Black's Magic, starring Hal Linden and Harry Morgan. But you'll find out all about that and so much more. It was a thing on TV.com. Nikki, time for your artist shoutouts. Also, before we do that, though, would be remiss. BS Big Show, we have finished the regular season, going on to the playoffs now. We already mentioned a little bit of Packers-Bears here already. The Rams barely escaped against the haphazard Panthers. And then three games tomorrow and one game on Monday, which I find incredibly stupid. That should be three on Saturday, three on Sunday. Not this 2-3-1 crap.
I agree.
Yeah. And then also on WLTI, they start talking more about 2026 in TV or in game shows. And also a very blunt post from Ken Jennings about a very certain somebody at the very top. But that's neither here nor there. Nikki, time for your artist shout-outs.
Let's see. First to our panelist who apparently is finally getting some rest. Jamie Claudia has finally cleared herself of the holidays. I haven't seen any art from her lately, and I've had a very hard time catching her to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna do my damnedest to get her on this show.
Yeah, because she's not been on much in the last year or so, which hasn't been fun.
No. Obligatory shout out to Oni Wambashu. Love her artwork. She's not that hard to find. She has a card, CARRD account for commissions. Check out her stuff, not only on Twitter, but on DeviantArt. Her stuff is safe to watch anywhere.
Okay.
Shout out to... And I just lost his name here, and Twitter's being stupid.
Is it Odenod?
Well, I was going to talk about Otanod, of course. If you like anime and you're wrestling, definitely look him up. And if you can't find him on, you can find him on Instagram easily. But if you don't have Instagram, go to Twitter, go to @HeymanHustle. Dear Uncle Paul will be happy to show you all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Shout out also to Noberto Gaitan. Let me get over to his page. He's quit because he's already got a picture of Drew McIntyre clutching the Undisputed Championship.
Mm-hmm.
He's also reposted some of his other Drew McIntyre artwork, including a match with Seth Rollins, him beating the piss out of CM Punk, a clip that looks like it was from the Hell in a Cell match between him and Punk. And some other wonderful stuff. His... Ooh. Oh, that's not his. He does his commissions through VGen.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see his... Let me get his rates real quick. Come on. Headshots start from $30, half body shots $70, full body from $80. Action shots from $80. Comic page from $100. And I wonder if he still has Surprise Me. Because I did a Surprise Me with him in my favorite kind of artwork, Mox Existential, where Dean Ambrose and John Moxley are arguing with each other. So definitely check him out.
Yeah.
Shout out to Willie J. Smith, a.k.a. Suicidal Assassin. Still very active. I like his work. Seeing Aleister Black on my TV reminded me of the commission I got him to do for me. Oops. Get back into actual search mode here. For some reason, Twitter's being a hoe and not letting me go into my messages.
I mean, it is Twitter. And Twitter, it has been a hoe for years.
Right, but I should be able to go in, hit messages, and look at my messages. None of this X-chat bullshit.
Thanks, because that's usually where I get.
Yeah, seriously. Do this real quick. There's somebody to look up. Okay. Can I type something now? Search. It's not the EKM I'm looking for. That's the EKM. EKM at EKMSoldier22803 on Twitter. Huge fan of Finn the Demon, Penta, and luchadors in general.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Nope, that's not her sketch. But artists tend to go ahead and pass all their stuff around. So, you know, look up one artist and you'll probably find five or six more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and if you commission an artist... Pay well, Make sure you get a work in progress because there's too many AI guys out there.
Yeah.
Tip generously, show it to everybody. All over your social medias. But make sure you credit the artist.
Yes.
Because you telling one person about their artwork will say, awesome, I want that kind of artwork, and they'll go get that person.
Mm-hmm.
So do them that favor. But I don't have too much else because I'm right here. I'm comfortable. I'm exhausted. I do more, but I really need some sleep, and I'm sure you do too.
Yes.
So, for Stat Boy Josh Henniger, and not for anybody else who decided to not show up for tonight's event.
Thanks, my everybody name is Nikki else.
Heyman. Yeah. My name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do tune in next week as we continue to recap WWE in Europe and all the wonderful things wrestling.